B2. Number 22A.
Now, we can go further and view this whole sense of oneness from the point of view of Christianity and see that therefore this principle, Word, which is the one being and which has an idea, the Christ, therefore expresses that one being, is never expressing that one being to something outside of itself, but always to itself. We have the wonderful sense of reflection, that being is self-reflection, is an idea that is not projected out from the Infinite One into a foreign universe, but is an idea that is coming always back, that it is reflected, is bent back to itself. So that we must see that very important point, that really in reflection, all what is reflected is within the one being. So that God reflects himself really upon himself. He doesn't reflect himself upon something which is not him, but upon himself. It's that self-reflex of being. Therefore, really being is a reflection that is constantly thinking about itself. When we reflect on ourselves, this is true reflection. When the Infinite reflects on himself, that's true reflection. We have to be careful, you see, not to take too literal the explanation of reflection with the mirror, because that explanation of reflection with the mirror has great danger in itself, because it separates the origin from the picture. You have the object before the mirror, and then a distance, and then somewhere the reflection. And that's how we are tempted to think when we say that man is the reflection of God, that we put God somehow into the distance as an object, and we feel, yes, we are the mirror and reflect that God, and so we make a distance between God and man. And this is something actually which is wrong, because in the scientific reflection, the ego and the Father are one. And therein, God and man is one. That's the oneness of being. So that we begin to see that everything really which goes on is that God reflects on himself. In other words, that every reflection is God as idea. And so we come really to the term man, that man is therefore a symbol, a name, for what? For this very act that God is reflecting on himself. This very act, that principle reflects on itself. To that very act, the name or the symbol, man has been given in the Bible, in the sixth day. Because in the sixth day it says, let us, life, truth and love, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And gave to that action, to that creative act, the name man. Man cannot be something separate from God. If it is not separate from God, well then he can't be anything but Godish. And so, let's see that, you see. Sometimes I think when I present these things, they all seem so academical, so intellectual, so abstract, and they are, until the moment we are sitting back for ourselves and think it over what it means. And then they become great. They become strong. You know, to think that Mrs. Eddy says that man is the image and likeness of God, or that man is the idea of God, and to see that clear and see, all right, then man is mind, capitalized, mind reflected, but reflected to itself, to mind, therefore still remaining mind, God. This is a great point, that spirit reflecting on itself is man, but spirit reflecting on itself is still spirit, and not something else. But the very action of that is called man, because we alone can do that. The dog can't do that, the trees can't do that, the minerals can't do that. Consciousness alone can do that. Consciousness alone can reflect on itself. That's the new thing that came with man, consciousness. And it is only showing forth what has been there in the universe as being, namely that mind reflects on itself. So that the mind, which we had called God, is the same mind as the mind of what we have called man. It is a different mind. So when we reflect mind, it means that we have the mind which is God. Who on earth is going to accept that? Why then do we constantly say, well, I wish I would have the right thoughts. I wish I could understand God. I wish I had that intelligence which is able to understand this. This is all wrong. This is all wrong. There is no intelligence, no understanding, no thought which is right except mind. And as mind is all and one, therefore the only mind there is the divine mind. And therefore man has that mind which is God. If we would start, therefore, everything by getting away from the false standpoint and start with the infinite one, with the right standpoint, with the divine mind, then we would go out from that divine mind where we would no more have any question, do I understand, do I have the right thoughts, will I understand, will I be intelligent enough to understand it, but where we know that we have that mind which is God itself. Therefore, my mind is God. It's not only God's mind. Mind capitalized is not only God's mind. Mind capitalized is also my mind, when I take the right standpoint. Naturally, if I don't take the right standpoint, then that doesn't work. But can you see that the main point around which everything turns in this oneness of being is to get away from the personal I, from the personal thinking, from the personal approach, and take the standpoint of the infinite one, and go out from the infinite one. Then, there, when I come to Christianity, I see that man is only a name. For what? That God is one mind, and that one mind is the mind of all. Therefore, that we have that mind which was also in Christ Jesus. That we have the mind which is God. Therefore, we have that mind which is God. That spirit which is God. We have that soul, that identity, that satisfaction, that clear-sightedness which is God. We have that principle which is God. We have that life which is God. I can have no other life but that which is God itself, which is life itself. So, if you have once a nice half an hour or so, just sit back and think over what that means that man has no other mind than the mind which is God. That man has no other spirit than that spirit which is God himself. And little by little you feel that you really are one with God. That we are not a man, amen, but that we are God in expression. That we are God reflecting on himself. Or as Mr. Dory used to say, he said, man is that term which we attribute to God's consciousness of himself. See, it's God's consciousness of himself, spirit reflecting on himself. To this we give the term man because we want to name it in one way or the other. And that naturally leads us at once to the highest sense, to the fourth side of that oneness, where we begin to see then principle and idea are not two, but that there is one. And this one God. It is no more principle plus idea. The sense which one usually has, there is a principle plus the ideas of principle. Here it is, principle and idea is, no more a plus, is one. And that principle and idea coexist, and coexist to exist at the same place and at the same time. Same place and same time really means, if we say that God and man coexist, means that man takes the same time and the same space as God. And finally, at this point, we drop that old story which somewhere must have started way back, thousands of years back, to feel that God and man are two separate things, two separate identities. They aren't. And so at that point, Mrs. Eddy just lifts it up and says, there is but one I, but one ego, but one I am. And then we have it. See, then we got it. Well, I don't have any more the feeling there is an my I, which has to get acquainted with the I God, which has to be atoned with the I God, that there is not a personal I which has to find out how it reflects the great I God, but where we drop all that and see there is one being, and this one being is just one I, because principle and idea is one. There is one ego, one I am. And when I touch that, I have really touched oneness. And I feel that in many ways, Mrs. Eddy indicated really that this consciousness was the consciousness that came to her at the beginning of her revelation, and that she began to see that standpoint of there is only one I, one ego, one I am, therefore only one principle, one mind, one spirit, one soul, one life, one truth, one love. And therefore in her earlier writings, especially then in the first edition of Science and Health, the textbook is full of that. The textbook is full of that sense that we are spirit. Just let me read, I think I have a few statements here from the first edition. See, where she just bluntly said what she had seen. She said, Jesus regarded himself principle, not as an idea of principle. He regarded himself principle instead of person. And therefore, because he regarded himself as principle, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. At that point he could say of himself, I am the synonym. but that himself was the divine I am. That he, because he had no person, because he had no claim for himself as a personal I, he said, but I'm conscious. But if I'm not a personal entity which is conscious, then that I which is conscious must be God, or the one being that is conscious. And so he could take that then point and said, I am life, capitalized, I am truth, I am God. And the accusation against him was that he made himself God. And he didn't say, no, I didn't say it. He said, yeah, sure I am. And you can just look in the Psalms, there already they said, he shall be as gods. So he didn't defend himself when he was accused that he regarded himself as being, as life, as truth. He said, yes, that is it. Jolly well, that's it. That's the fact about it. And so he would say, as you know, he would say, I'm the light of the world. He didn't say, I'm a ray of light. He didn't say, I'm a reflection of the light. He said, I'm the light of the world. And with that light, afterwards, he came to the blind and healed him. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He didn't say, I'm going to resurrect myself. He didn't say, I'm going to demonstrate life. See, he said, I'm the life, and then I'm the resurrection. Quite different than our whole thought, which says, oh, it would be nice if I would be resurrected. It would be nice if I could overcome death and the grave. Jesus didn't say that. He said, I'm not going to overcome death, no, I'm going to overcome the grave. I said, I'm life. You remember that little picture which I drew about the cone going through that surface, through that surface, you see? That cone remained a cone, you see? Always a cone. Never changed. But to the outside, to an outside dimension of thought, to the human sense, it seemed as if there would be death and afterwards resurrection. The surface was punctured and that there was a hole in it, you see, and afterwards that hole was filled up again. So this shows, you see, that everything is only a matter of what dimension of consciousness we accept for ourselves. If we accept a limited dimension of consciousness, we will have birth and maturity and death and then the hope of overcoming death and the hope of resurrection and the hope of eternal life and all that stuff. But if we change the standpoint of consciousness and to that spiritual dimension of spiritual monism, then we have a complete different attitude. We say, I am life, and therefore nothing happens to that life. It doesn't need to be resurrected, it cannot be born, that life cannot evolve, that life cannot be killed, cannot die, it cannot be put in a grave, it cannot resurrect and cannot ascend. It is. Mrs. Eddy would say in the first edition of Science and Health, when we are spirit, we shall have gained the high import of the scriptures, I and my Father are one. See, when we are spirit, she never would say that again in the late editions. Never again. But that was the point of her revelation, where she could see, actually, we are spirit. We are spirit individualized, because spirit has infinite individuality, but still remaining spirit. If we have spirit individualized, it's still spirit. You see? When we see spirit individualized, it doesn't lose the nature of spirit. It still remains spirit. And so, at another point she would say, at present we know not what we are, but hereafter we shall be found love, life, and truth, because we understand them. The moment we understand the synonymous terms, we are them. Can you see? Because understanding means consciousness. And we can be nothing else but what consciousness tells us. See? Cognito ergo sum. Huh? That which I cognize, that which I am conscious, that am I. That I am. that I am. So, understanding the ideas of the synonymous terms better and better and better until we touch the tone of them, we are them. We have reached a higher level of consciousness, namely that consciousness of oneness, which does no more divide between principle and idea. Principle and idea is one. She says that we are spirit and spirit is God is undeniably true. Let us be clear that we are not teaching that man is God. That wouldn't be true. Because we have seen in the one being, man is only that name which is given to that activity of mind reflecting on itself. God being conscious of itself. But the I am is God. Naturally, we have seen that man is only the creation of the sixth day of creation. And that after the sixth day of creation, we have a seventh day of creation. And in that seventh day of creation, Mrs. Eddy explains the infinite. And explains that human conception cannot get hold of the infinite. That only the infinite really can understand the infinite. And therefore you see the seventh day, which has nothing to do with man, is something which is higher than the sixth day. But as we can take note, can be aware of the seventh day, we are something more than man. Only the mortal has said, we are men. There is no authority on the whole world which can say that we are only men. The only authority which says we are men is the traditional concept of the chimpanzees that have mutated into a more conscious chimpanzee called the Homo sapiens. But we have the same body as the chimpanzees have. Everything is more or less physiologically the same. But what makes us different is consciousness. And with that consciousness, we can also embrace the seventh day, and not only the sixth. And so let's see that that seventh day is something more than just man. It's the I am. Man is the I am reflecting on itself, and the seventh day is just I am. And so Mrs. Eddy would say that man is not God, but she would say there is only one I, only one ego, there is only one I am, and that's being. Therefore, we can take hold of this highest sense of being as I am. You know how, therefore, Mrs. Eddy said, the most important thing we can do is to put ourselves out of the way. And she was asked how she would heal this and this case instantaneously. She said, I put Mary out of the way. She didn't give any long explanation what was bringing about the healing, except one thing, that if we put the personal I out of the way, then the divine I is at the point of I am. And all there is the I that is, as the I am. And that I am is always at the point of perfection. For instance, in those so-called watches, which Mrs. Eddy had given to her collaborators, one of those watches reads like this. She said, take time each day to say, what is the most powerful thing in the world? And then the answer, it is God saying, I am in his own creation. Can you see? So what is the most powerful thing in the world? She says, it's that consciousness, I am, but not only as a central point, I am in his own creation. And so takes in the infinite universe as I am. Then she said, every event, any event is every event, and I am the law of it. Can you see? They said, the I am is the law of every event. And every event is any event, giving a sense, really, that I am is that which is moving behind every event. But therefore there is nothing else but the highest consciousness of I am. Well, in this and other ways, Mrs. Eddy was, and Jesus was trying to teach all those things which lift consciousness to the point of that oneness. And so we can see that through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, and then through Mrs. Eddy's discovery, thought was led first to the oneness, to the full sense of oneness. First through monotheism, one God. Then through the one Christ, the Spirit of God came upon me. Then through one Christianity, that God lives in us. The Father that is in us does the work. And then finally lifting it up in science and health to the I am. From there we can look out. From there we can look out as the world and can see the I am is the only being. One being, principle and idea as one being, therefore a spiritual monism. There is only one being. Has only one Christ, that being, the Christ. Therefore, that one being always is in the state of operation, always reaching towards a goal, always have a goal in view, and doing everything to establish that goal. Then, as Christianity, that I am is constantly reflecting on itself. Constantly reflecting on itself, and to that process that the term man is given. God reflecting on itself. And finally, the science point of view, where we begin to see that in science there is just one principle, the I am. One ego. Not many egos.